With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, listeners. Rhea here. I just wanted to check in and to give you guys a heads up about this episode that you're about to listen to and the next episode that's going to be released. We did have a slight mishap while recording. One of us, look, I'm not naming any names, one of your two hosts, possibly the younger one, possibly the one that isn't me, accidentally left her window open. And so very clearly on her recording, we can get the Australian sounds of summer, you know, the slight screaming of the insects that is our constant background noise for all of summer. Yeah, it comes across very, very clearly in these episodes, so sorry about that. Nothing we can really do about it now. Hope it's not too awful to listen to. Okay, we won't do it again. Love you guys. Bye!
To our new listeners, welcome. To our old listeners, welcome back. Another episode of Magical Education awaits you, but first we would like to say a few words.
Nitwit, blubber, oddment, tweak. Podcast 9¾, topic of the week is, what's the deal with the Marauder's Map?
Hi listeners, I'm Rhea.
And I'm Jem, and this week we're going to look at the most plot hole-y device in the entire series.
I don't know if it's the most plot hole-y. Surely there's got to be something worse.
I don't know. It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah. we'll get into it.
Yeah. So the Marauder's Map.
Yes.
First impression, love the drawings. Real cool. I happen to have, my own Marauder's Map that I bought at some point.
Yes.
It's cool art.
I'm pretty sure we bought them together at the Harry Potter World in Japan.
Yeah.
Because I have mine as well that I got down from the shelf to look at. And it still has the, price sticker on the plastic sleeve at the back, and it's all written in Japanese.
that'd be about right.
That's a pretty solid indication of where I got it from.
That was a good time.
Yeah, it was. Memories. Anyway. Marauder's Map. So, my first thoughts when looking at this, physical copy of the map that I have is that it just doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, the physical copy that, they sell as merchandise and they have in the movies is different to how it's described in the books.
Yes.
But, yeah, it is a bit bonkers.
Yeah.
I love it though.
It's a gorgeous piece of art and I love to unfold it and look at it and stuff, but looking through it, it just doesn't show the entire castle at all. What it does show is impossible to figure out where it could be. This is a corridor, I guess.
I think the idea of having it layered where you fold pieces out is actually smarter than in the books where it's just one big thing of paper, because Hogwarts is seven stories, so it would make sense to me if it folds out in seven ways and you can see each level. Mm-hmm. But
and the grounds as well.
Yeah.
And the dungeons.
Yeah.
Hogwarts is big and complicated.
It's massive. But in the book it's just one big thing of parchment.
Yeah. In the book it's one big thing of parchment, and the description constantly mentions how all the little dots of the people are tiny and all the writing is minuscule. It's obviously crammed into this space that just doesn't work.
Wow. It's like the Marauders really mastered all this complex magic, but not how to fold paper so that they could create more depth with this map.
I really want to talk about their basic cartography skills.
Interesting. How are you at cartography, Rhea?
Not great. So, listeners, as a fun activity, a challenge for yourself, get out some pieces of paper and try and draw the blueprints to your house and the town where you live. like a map of the town where you live and see how accurate it is to your actual living space. I've done both of those things several times for like writing projects that I do, which are set in the town that I grew up in. And damn, it's hard to map a space, even a space that you know backwards and forwards, inside and out.
Yeah.
Like, I can't draw my own room because living in a room is different to like imagining it from a bird's eye view and getting everything exactly right and like figuring out, yeah, I know my bathroom's next to my bedroom, but like, what's this space in the middle? Why is this here? Why doesn't it line up with the kitchen the way it's supposed to?
Is there just an extra room hidden in between the walls and between my kitchen and my like bed that I'm just not aware of? Like,
yeah, like, I put the cupboard in for my bedroom, my clothes are, but that means that there's this weird open space that just doesn't sort of...
Yeah, fit. It's fun. And then imagine doing that for a castle that changes staircases and has hidden doors and secret passageways and all this sort of bullshit.
Yeah, like, a regular castle, a regular seven-story castle would be a difficult thing to map for, like, a professional cartographer. Never mind a bunch of, like, 16-year-old idiots who have, like, no training in math or geography or, like,
yeah, and who's to know that any of them any are even, like, good at art in general, like, can draw a straight line, can create the illusion of depth and space. You know, like, we don't know.
We have to conclude that they are, because the map exists and it's functional and it's accurate as far as we're aware. But it's just, I find it astounding that the Marauders had these skills, because that's an incredible level of skill.
I did come across a theory of how it could have been made, which I think is quite fascinating. It's not my theory. I found it, I think, on Reddit or Quora. I will link to it in the show notes. But basically there's this theory that perhaps the Marauders found a way to tap into the magical wards that surround Hogwarts and found a way to sort of take the essence of the wards and imprint it onto paper with ink, with magic. So that, because if you think of the map as a map of Hogwarts, which is what it is, it doesn't go beyond the Hogwarts boundaries, and anyone who shows up on the map is only on the map because they're at Hogwarts. So if you think about the magical boundaries around Hogwarts as, like, a security measure, you could think of it as a way as, like, okay, so John Smith walks into Hogwarts, and the boundaries and the protective magic that surrounds the castle knows that it is also protecting John Smith, and so he shows up on the map too, because the boundaries and these wards are aware of his presence, and there's, like, oh, you know, mystical connection between wizard and their name and all this bullshit, so maybe you can draw on some of that magic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's this idea that they took, they sort of tapped into that magic, found a way to imprint it on paper so you can visually see it, and then did some other stuff with, like, Homunculus Charm, which is, like, a person location magic, which is the only charm that we, like, learn that they used to imbue this map with, to create the map. And then there was a discussion on how the map is kind of like a portrait, like, how we understand portraits. Like,
okay.
The fact that you have to use a specific phrase to open the map and close the map, like a portrait that guards something or a portrait that has a job. The fact that the map seems to learn, but not, like, age or grow in a way. So, like, the portraits can learn new information. They can learn new passwords, new names of people, new gossip around the castle and all sorts of stuff. But they don't, like, they don't change. They're still themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, they are like a frozen moment in time.
So it could be that the Marauders were able to sort of tap into those wards, put the impression on paper, and then use the magic that creates portraits to be what they are, which is kind of like, I think JK mentioned, like a relationship between the painter of the portrait, the subject of the portrait, and some magic potions or whatever shit like that, to sort of train it to
some
have...
bullshit.
Yeah, train it to have some kind of rapport and, like, response to situations. So it's got a mind of its own in a way, and I think that is sort of the conclusive idea of how this map was made by these four children.
Okay. That's, like, deeply convoluted and has a lot of like vague magical theory, like tapping into the wards somehow and putting them on paper somehow. Like, yeah, but I find it far more credible and far more rational than four teenage boys, just from exploring the castle really, really well at nighttime once a month,
were able to map the entire Hogwarts castle and grounds.
Yeah. I find that much more credible too, because it just makes more sense to me, because, like, there are some limitations to the map and the, what is shown on it, and I think that's based off what the Marauders know to be there.
Yeah.
But then that would fit into the theory that they mapped it themselves and it's not connected to the magic of the castle and the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
There's problems.
So, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. Let's talk through, like, the canon explanation of how they created the map.
Yeah, there's no explanation.
Not really. Like, not in the books, but from research. The idea is that, basically, they explored all of Hogwarts Castle, all of Hogwarts grounds, while they were running around in their animagus slash werewolf form, and they explored all of the interior of the castle using James' invisibility cloak, somehow fitting all four of them under it, even though we know from canon that it doesn't fit three fully grown adults under it.
Yep.
So once they had, I guess, all of this information, or as they were transcribing all of this information onto a single large piece of parchment, they then cast this spell called the Homunculus Charm, which basically, it's basically just a piece of plot contrivance. It's a spell that allows you to track the location of people on a map. Like, it was just a spell that was created to explain how this map works.
Isn't there a link to Hominem Revelio, which is reveal human?
Yeah, homunculus, however this word is linked to, like, the spell, I think, not the spell, the word homin, which means human in Latin. Mm. I don't know if it's the same sort of magic, but it's definitely, like, coming from the same root Latin word. And then they also cast another spell on it, which made it repel any attempt by Severus Snape to figure out what the map was.
Yeah.
Just as a taunt, just as a fuck you to Snape.
Yeah.
And that's all the explanation there is, so it's not very detailed.
It's not. Like, I want a step-by-step. I want to know how they fucking did it. Because it's an amazing piece of technology. Like, it's probably
incredible.
One of the most insane magical objects that's ever been made.
Yeah.
Like, it's more powerful than a hallow. Like, it's nuts.
It is. And at some point, we have to do an episode which is just talking about how much of a bonkers surveillance state the Wizarding World is.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy, like, how much you are constantly watched and tracked and monitored by, like, 50 different things at all times.
Ain't that the truth? Isn't that how we live now? I love it.
Hooray!
Hi, everyone, anyway. Watching me through my webcam, even though it's turned off. Love you guys.
Oh, yeah, my phone is a microphone recording me, just the same as this other microphone that I've got to record me.
So good.
Yeah, but, like, as an incredibly advanced piece of, like, magic, as a magical object, the Marauder's Map is crazy for a bunch of teenagers to create in their spare time. Yeah. They did this on top of homework and shit.
On top of homework, on top of becoming animagi, on top of, like, you know, running out every full moon to protect their werewolf friend, and on top of, like, getting up to mischief all the time. It's like, geez, man, I can barely, like, cook and clean my own house and do my laundry and get groceries and go to sleep. Like, that's too much. Yeah.
Some of them were, like, prefects, head boy, like, they had
Quidditch
team, like,
God,
mapping the entire castle. What I don't like about the canon explanation of how they created the map is that the magical side of it seems super basic. Like, they basically just cast sort of two spells over this, but it really, there's no explanation as to the cartography side of it. It's just like, yeah, they mapped it. How? They don't have the skill.
They just don't. I mean, look, we don't know. One of them might have been, like, had a knack for cartography. Like, Quirrell has a knack for trolls, or Lockhart has a knack for memory charms. Wizards just have knacks for things, you know? God, I wish that were me.
Anyway. So you were talking about how there's parts of the castle that the map doesn't know about. Notably, the Room of Requirement and the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, those are the two main ones.
The explanation given is that, you know, the Marauders never found these places. They never put them on the map. obviously that makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's one of the explanations given. Well, the explanation is that, like, obviously they never found out about the Chamber of Secrets, not in the map. For the room requirement, I always think it's the same thing, that they just didn't know it existed.
Yeah, I always assumed
which I think is evident in the canon. But then there's, like, a lot of, like, Pottermore and Harry Potter wiki saying that also the room is unplottable. You can't plot it on a map. And I'm like, well, Hogwarts is unplottable, honey. But there's a map of that.
I know.
So...
I think Hogwarts being unplottable and then also there's a map of it. When the books refer to Hogwarts being unplottable, I guess I...
It's in reference to other things.
Yeah, I assume that was in reference to, like, a larger geography.
It's like, coming up on your right, nothing.
Yes, exactly. You can't get a map of Scotland and point me to... Show me on a map of America where Hogwarts is.
Doesn't exist. Sorry.
I interrupted my own point to make a reference. You can't find Hogwarts on a map of Scotland, but, like, a map internally of Hogwarts, I guess, is possible. We just have to assume the answer is yes, because it's evident in the text that it is.
Yeah.
But the idea that specific rooms can be unplottable is wild to me.
I mean, I guess, like, Grimmauld Place is unplottable, yeah. Specific rooms. Because the room, it's always in the same place, though. Like, I would accept it if the room moved around the castle. Like, you could find it in different spots. And that's why it can't show up on the map, because it's too inconsistent. But it's always on the third floor corridor, right? Or the fifth floor corridor, or something like that?
Seventh floor corridor? It's in one of the corridors.
Yeah.
I think that's true of the Chamber of Secrets. The Chamber of Secrets is definitely in one place, which may or may not be on the grounds. But the room of requirement, I think, does move.
No.
Well, like, its entrances
its
move.
Its entrances move, but, like, physically it's always in the same spot.
Look, I'm willing to, like, agree with that point, but I personally headcanon, I guess, that it moves around the castle to wherever it's required to be.
Yeah. I think that's cooler, personally.
Yeah.
But, I don't think that's what's going on.
I think, like, the main entrance is, like, that entrance that they always use in the corridor. But I think, like... If you know about the room and you need the room, and if you're in a random dungeon or something, you can be like, room of requirement, like, I need you, help me, and a door will open up to it.
Mm. I think that's cool, but I don't think it's true.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, so...
Obviously it makes more sense for Hogwarts, but, like, once again, just going back to me drawing a blueprint of my own apartment... The idea that, like, I could make the bathroom of my apartment unplottable. And then I could map out the rest of the place, but my bathroom's a secret that can never be found. Nuts. Wild to me.
Here's something that keeps me up at night. So, the Marauder's map.
Okay.
Like, little Hannah Abbott. She is born and it comes to Hogwarts after the 70s when, like, James Potter and Remus Lupin, etc. were making this map. She appears in the map.
Right.
Yep, she's on the Marauder's map, all good. Fine, I can accept that. The map learns people that come into, like, Hogwarts grounds years and years later, even if they're not, like, physically alive yet. Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't it learn which secret passages are blocked off and show that they're, like, blocked off on the map? Why doesn't it learn that about its physical presence in the space? Because it still shows all the exits, but Fred and George have to explicitly say, don't use these three, these two are the only ones that work now. We found that out the hard way. It's like, the map should be able to tell you that. If the map can tell you what fucking password to use to get in the Humpback Witch statue, why can't it tell you, oh, dead end? Like, you know. Like, it's so inconsistent, Rhea.
It is interesting that the map doesn't update. That implies to me that it was made through... regular cartography and not through magical cartography, which is what I'm going to call your theory of tapping into the wards.
Yeah, 100%. And it also implies that, it was made from the Marauders themselves through regular / magical cartography.
Mm-hmm.
Because it only shows what they know, and they don't know that these passages have been blocked in the years since, so therefore they're not showing up like that. But they also don't know that people like Neville Longbottom exist, and yet they still show up on the map.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't think the people and their locations is based on the Marauder's knowledge.
No.
Because it just couldn't be. They don't have the knowledge of where every single person is every single second of the day.
Yeah, that's why they made them up in the first place, so they can get up to mischief and make sure that they can do it out of sight of other people. So they know where everyone else is while they're doing their creepy little shit.
So this charm that they cast, that's got to be the thing that's like updating where people are and tracking their movements around and all that sort of stuff. That's explained away by that.
Yeah.
But the fact that the map doesn't update itself for like, you know, passages that are destroyed or, oh, there's a new doorway here or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It that implies to me that it's not an object that is like intuned into the inherent magic of the Hogwarts castle itself.
Mm.
It's something like external that was created with limited knowledge and limited skill sets.
Yeah. Which implies that maybe it could be possible to add to the map. Like, it could have been possible for Fred and George to like draw dead ends on these corridors, on these like secret passages that lead out, unless it's not possible for them to tamper with the map. We're not sure.
Yeah, that's something that I think would have been cool for Harry to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, update his father's map, you know, take on the legacy. But he didn't.
I guess he just didn't have that knack for cartography. Like, I don't know, fucking yep. Peter Pettigrew did, I guess.
It was Peter Pettigrew's, his life's work. His skill.
What other skills does he have? How do you think he found Voldemort in Albanian forest? He was mapping it out. He knew the way.
He wasn't even trying to find Voldemort. He just mapped the entire forest and then cast this charm. Was like, oh, hey.
There he is. I can see him.
Oh, God, Peter Pettigrew. So another flaw of the map, I guess, is that it shows people's first and last names, but it doesn't mm-hmm. differentiate between people of the same name.
I hate it.
This is the Barty Crouch problem.
This keeps me up at night as well. Like, it's bullshit. It's purely there just so Harry doesn't figure out the ruse of Goblet of Fire until the end.
Yeah.
It's plot. Because Junior, I'm sorry, it's legally a part of your name, so fuck off. Like, it should show Barty Crouch Jr. is in the fucking storeroom and not Barty Crouch Sr. But then again, it doesn't show middle names, so is it, like, just a first name, last name thing?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And also, like, titles. It doesn't show, like, Professor Albus Dumbledore.
No.
But also, it doesn't show Albus Percival Wulfric Brian Dumbledore. Yeah. It just says Albus Dumbledore.
Yeah. It's very specific. And it's like, okay, so this is making me think, maybe the reason why it's showed Barty Crouch instead of Barty Crouch Jr. is because we've discussed this before. There's a mystical connection between wizard and their names, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
So maybe Barty Crouch doesn't think of himself as Barty Crouch Jr. or Junior.
That would make sense.
He thinks of himself as Barty Crouch, because he, as we know, hates that he is named after his father.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's how he thinks of his own name, and that's why that is, in its essence, his identifier is Barty Crouch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. It's a stretch, I don't know.
Yeah. So, Rhea isn't my real name, but if I identified, and by real name, I mean, like, what's written on my birth certificate. But if yeah. I identified so, so strongly with Rhea that it became, like, my taken name, like, my true name,
yeah.
would I only show up on the map as Rhea, or would I show up on the map as Rhea Smashmouth, which is the joke surname that I use for this pseudonym?
It's very hard.
Or would I show up as Rhea, real last name?
It's odd because they...
Or, like, real first name, then in quotations, Rhea, then real last name.
Is it nicknames? Does he show up as Barty Crouch or Bartemius Crouch?
He does show up as Barty. It's definitely Barty, so that is a nickname.
That's a nickname. Like, that means I would show up as Jem and not my full name, which will never be discovered.
Yeah. Secret lost to time. The memory of your true name was lost eons ago.
So I'd show up as Jem, just Jem, and not my full name, which is odd.
That is odd. Yeah, good point. It is Barty and not Bartimus. I'm trying to think of anyone else.
Obviously Ron. Ron Weasley is short for Ronald.
Yeah, that shows up as Ron, not Ronald.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly.
It's hard to remember because obviously the movies has a very different version of the map to the book.
Yeah. And the movies do things a bit differently. Like, there's a mistake in some movie, I can't remember, where it shows Malfoy when it should be Draco Malfoy.
That's movie 6. Another great addition to movie 6. Yeah. It's meant to show first name, last name, but I guess it shows someone's nickname instead of their full name. It doesn't show middle names, and it doesn't show additional things like the second or junior or senior or mm-hmm. professor.
Yeah, doesn't show titles.
It shows Mrs. Norris, though. I mean, I guess that's her first and second name, though. She's a cat.
Yeah. Like... So that's not her title, because it's not like she's married to Mr. Norris. Her name is Mrs. Norris. Like how my cat's name is Apple Bobbing. Her name isn't first name Apple, second name Bobbing.
Yeah, you know, Peter Spider-Man. Yeah, God.
Names are weird. I've got to assume that this is, like, not a function of the magic. It's got to be some sort of specifics that were put into the spell by the Marauders.
Okay.
They decided it shows your last name and your first name or whatever you go by as your first name.
Yeah, as you determine it, I suppose, which is so strange. Which and means, so, like, wild. That's powerful.
Which means that, yeah, you would show up as Jem last name.
Yeah.
You wouldn't show up as Jem, just Jem, because that's not your real last name.
Lost of time.
But if you got married, I've got to assume if you get married and you change to take your partner's surname, it would show that, right?
I assume so, if that's how you think of your name now.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, do we ever see, like, Mrs. Weasley or anything on the map? I don't think so.
We don't see any married women on the map, do we?
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of the professors, and to the best of my knowledge, none of them are married.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's another thing we should discuss. You have to take a vow of celibacy to become a Hogwarts professor.
You chose books, I chose looks. Oh, right. I want to talk about Mrs. Norris.
Okay.
All right, so the map shows all the people at Hogwarts. It doesn't show fucking Pigwidgeon and Hedwig and all the owls in the owlery and all the rats that live in the kitchen and all the fucking spiders that live in the forest, but it shows Mrs. Norris.
And it shows Crookshanks.
Doesn't show Crookshanks, does it? Where's that?
There's a time when Harry sees Sirius Black on the map meeting up with Crookshanks.
I don't have any memory of that. Okay. Isn't that he sees that out the window? He sees them physically, like the big dog?
Oh, yes, you're right. Oh, I thought that was on the map, but I was totally wrong.
No, he wakes up in the middle of the night and he's like, oh, and he looks out the window and sees a big black dog and a cat talking.
Yes, okay, that does seem like the sort of shit that happens to
And he's like, can I trust this cat?
Yes, that makes more sense than my memory.
Yeah. No, the only animal that we see on the map is explicitly Mrs. Norris. So this goes further into the theory that the Marauders created the map for a specific reason, which is that they don't want to be caught. So they made the map to track Mrs. Norris and anyone that could, like, get them in trouble, Snape, Argus Filch, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she's the only animal that is on the map, because she's, like, Filch's, you know, eyes and ears.
That makes sense.
So,
except that I cannot assume that Mrs. Norris is the same cat that Filch had when they were attending Hogwarts. Surely this cat has died and been replaced.
Not if she's a Neasle, which is heavily implied she could be.
That's true. Yes. Maybe cats never die.
Also, cats can live a long time.
Maybe that's the reality I prefer to believe in.
This is they were doing this in the 70s, right? 74 to 78 is when the map was being made.
I guess.
And the books take place from 1991 to 97. So that's about, 20 years later. Cats don't usually live 20 years.
No.
Right? 18 at the most.
I don't know a cat's specific lifespan, but I think it's more around 10 years than 20 years.
Your average house cat lives longer than a house dog. It's usually, like, an old house cat can live to, like, 16 to 18 years.
Yeah, but that's old. I think, that's like a geriatric cat.
So the cat's not leaping around anymore. But, like, I just always assumed that she was a Neasle.
Mm-hmm.
JK has said, oh, she's just a smart cat. But I'm like, no, fuck you. Your opinion doesn't matter. She's a Neasle. So
she's too smart for a cat.
Yeah. And there's the connection between squibs and Neasles. Like, I think it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
This gives us an answer to a theory that is tossed around a lot and a joke that is tossed around since the dawn of time. oh, if why didn't Fred and George notice that Peter Pettigrew was sleeping in their brother's bed for years? Okay, so this has been answered many times before. I think the most conclusive and distinct answer can be found on Seamus Gorman's YouTube channel. I'll basically give a rundown of it here.
Okay.
The Marauders made the map and they chose what shows up on the map to protect themselves while they were doing mischief. And they can choose who shows up on the map. So they made sure that when someone who is not a Marauder is looking at the map, they cannot see any Marauders on the map. So right. If you're on the map, if you're holding the map and you're trying to look for Sirius Black or Peter Pettigrew, etc., you can't see them if you're not a Marauder. But if you are Lupin, you can open the map and you can find Peter Pettigrew on that map.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why they did this security measure was to make sure that if the map ever got into the wrong hands, say someone like Severus Snape, even though it's made to repel him, but Snape uses the map later, we'll get to that. If it ever ended up on the wrong hands, someone wouldn't be able to track down the Marauders on this map.
Okay.
And they could still get up to their marauding activities.
I have an objection, but do you have more that you want to say, or should I interrupt now?
No, that's it.
Okay. So in the third book, obviously, because that's the big map book, Lupin sees Harry, Hermione, and Peter Pettigrew running down the Whomping Willow trail, and then he leaves to go after them. Severus Snape enters the room and sees Lupin running down the trail under the Whomping Willow and goes after him. So Snape sees Lupin's name on the map.
Shit. Does he see Lupin's name, or does he just see... he does see Lupin's name, doesn't he? Fuck.
Yeah.
That just dismantles the whole theory then.
Yeah, because it's done in stages. Like, he doesn't see Harry and Hermione because they've already gone by that point because Lupin's gone after them. He sees Lupin and then goes after Lupin because he assumes that Lupin is going to meet Sirius Black, and he's trying to catch Black. He doesn't know Harry and Hermione and Ron are involved at all.
That's very true. So that whole theory is garbage. So all right, so then why don't Fred and George see Peter Pettigrew on the map?
Maybe it's not completely garbage. Maybe they spelled it so that they couldn't be seen on the map when they were in their animagus forms. Because Lupin doesn't have an animagus form, so maybe it applies to him when he's in his werewolf form, I guess. But that might explain it. Like, specifically when they're transformed, they don't show up on the map, but the rest of the time they do. No, hang on, because that's then so Lupin sees Peter Pettigrew.
But that's with the contrivance of Marauders can see Marauders, but non-Marauders cannot see Marauders unless they are not in their animagus form. Oh, that's so messy.
We're having to add layers and explanations to make this work.
We're folding the paper again and again. We're making more layers.
Yeah.
Oh.
That kind of does it, I think.
Otherwise, it's just the excuse of like, oh, they never noticed. They didn't bother to check in on Percy or Ron while Fred and George were running around doing their mischief stuff. They never bothered to check that on their brothers.
Yeah. I think not noticing Peter Pettigrew and Ron's possession is possible. Because as I said, like, the dots on the map are tiny. The map is cramped and complicated. And, like, you have to scan it thoroughly to find someone.
But then again, it's like, why didn't Harry notice for those, like, 3 months after he was given the Marauders map to when it was taken from him in third year? Why didn't he know?
Exactly.
Like, because there was, like, a time period of about 3 months when Harry was given the map. And before Peter Pettigrew went missing, when Scabbers was killed by Crookshanks and went missing, that Harry should have been able to see Peter Pettigrew on the map with Ron at some point.
Yeah. I do like the moment in the movie where he does see Peter Pettigrew on the map and goes looking for him.
Yeah.
That's very classic Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird that Harry doesn't see it. What I find weird is that Fred and George don't notice Peter Pettigrew in the possession of Percy. Because surely they have this map, they get it in their first year. So Percy's definitely there. He's definitely a prefect for some of that time, at least 2 years of the time that they've got the map. And surely, if you are sneaking out of the Gryffindor Tower, you look at the Gryffindor Tower to see if Percy is there, ready to ruin your time.
Exactly.
Your good time.
You want to make sure Percy's in his room or in the library like a nerd before you go sneaking.
Yeah. Your first thing you're sneaking past is the prefects who are supposed to keep the students in the common room after hours.
I mean, there could be the assumption that Percy didn't sleep with Peter Pettigrew in his bed, but surely he'd have Peter Pettigrew in his dormitory, right? Like,
yeah, they would still be looking at Gryffindor Tower. Yeah. They would be checking Percy's dorm room, which is where Peter Pettigrew should be. And now, also, maybe, like, Fred and George don't know the name Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah. They could have thought it's just another student in Percy's dorm.
Yeah. They could have just thought this is another student, but surely you would be like, well, this is the one person who's always hanging around Percy, and you would make fun of him because Percy doesn't have any friends. And then you would notice when it changes from being the person who's always hanging around Percy to the person who's always hanging around Ron. That's notable.
Yeah. I mean, these are the things that we claim, but this is... This is claiming that Fred and George cared about their brothers enough to notice these things and think about these things, which I know it seems like it's making them seem like they're dumb, and they're not. They're very intelligent because they somehow managed to crack the code of "I solemnly swear I'm up to no good."
Oh, I've got notes on that as well.
Let's talk about that because we can go down this rabbit hole forever. There's no answer. It's a plot hole.
Yeah. It is a plot hole. Like, it just is. We can explain it away with magical bullshit or, oh, the Marauders enchanted the map to do this and that and, you know, jump through our hoops that way. Or we can be like, Fred and George just either never noticed or never said shit. Maybe they were just respecting their brother's privacy.
Never noticed, never cared.
Yeah. I think that makes... basically the most sense. Like, if they ever saw the name Peter Pettigrew, it didn't mean anything to them, so they didn't take a note of it. And if they saw it multiple times, they just didn't notice. Because why would they?
Yeah. They don't care about Percy's personal life or Ron's personal life that much, so... Why would they care?
They don't know the name of every single Gryffindor guy in every single year. Why would they? Also, they're kind of... like, not in a bad way, but they're kind of self-involved. They're focused on their own thing. They've got their own friends and their own pranks and their own business that they're setting up in the later years. Like,
I think single-handedly the whole, like, Fred and George figuring out, I solemnly swear I'm up to no good, is proof that they are Slytherins. The amount of determination, creativity, and just, damn, I'm gonna fucking do this no matter what anyone says, to figure out that exact combination of words... to open them up and then Mr. manage to close it is incredible.
So here's what I've got on this from the HP wiki.
Yeah.
Fred and George stole the map. They had to experiment with it in order to learn how to get it to work. But the map gave them clues, flickering into life here and there when they came close to the activating phrase until finally they got it exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So the map was giving them hints.
Yeah.
So that makes it more believable, rather than accidentally stumbling on the exact phrase, I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good, which is incredibly specific.
Yeah. It's a good password.
It is.
I've read theories
passwords that are long and convoluted are great.
Yeah. I've read theories that perhaps, like, the map isn't necessarily, I solemnly swear I'm up to no good. Like, it isn't necessarily opened by this very specific phrase, but that, like, Fred and George, like, the map might be interactive, well, it is interactive, and Fred and George might have been like, oh, we want to use you to make mischief, we want to cause trouble, and they sort of eventually wheedled their way down to, I solemnly swear I'm up to no good, and that was enough for the map to be like, yep, let them in, you know. Because, like, there's an essence to the map that it wants you to make mischief and break the rules.
Mm. That's what I always assumed. I always assumed that some sort of variation of we're going to use this to, like, cause trouble and make pranks, like, just some sort of general statement to that effect would activate the map. It doesn't have to be that specific passphrase, which I think makes more sense.
What would your passphrase be?
Don't ask for my passwords. I've got many of them.
I think my one to open the map would be live fast, die young, bad girls do well.
That's great. Like, probably to activate the map, I would just say something like, I'm here to fuck shit up.
Amazing.
Let's just get to the point.
Yeah, continue.
Mischief managed is so good as well. So concise.
Mine would be like, laters.
We're done here, fuckers. Mine's got to have profanity in it because it's funny that way.
Emphasis.
Yeah. The idea of the map flickering to life to give them hints. I want to talk about the sentience level of the map.
Yeah.
Because it is interactive to a certain extent. First of all, like, it seems to sense that it's in the possession of new tricksters who are going to use it for pranks and, like, is trying to encourage them to find the secret password to unlock it. That's crazy. That requires a level of intelligence and planning and forethought that is terrifying from a piece of paper.
The ring abandoned golem.
And sought a new master. Genuinely, I think that's what happened. Like, there is a canon explanation of how it ended up with Filch, that Filch confiscated it off them. Why? It's a big piece of paper. Why did he confiscate a piece of blank parchment from the Marauders? That's lunacy. Mm-hmm. And then it says that none of them were able to get it back from Filch.
Also not.
One of them is a rat. One of them has an invisibility cloak. All of them can use magic and he can't.
Hermione was able to steal books from Dumbledore's office with a summoning charm. Filch has no magical powers. What is his office window protected with but locks and chains?
And a cat. They absolutely could steal it back from them, from him, if they wanted it, if they wanted to. I think it's like they lost it in their final year of Hogwarts and it's like, we're going to be graduating sometime soon. We should leave the map here because, like, it's only useful at Hogwarts. And, like, hopefully, you know, it ends up in the hands of somebody who's going to use it at some point in the future. And then it did end up with Fred and George. They're basically their successors.
Yeah. I think also the map could have, if we're going with sentient map theory, it could have abandoned them because it's like, ew, James has gotten really lame because he's, like, hanging out with his girlfriend and not sneaking outside after hours anymore and doing mischief. Like, he's gotten all responsible now. I'm sick of this. And just bailed.
I love that. The map's like, goody two-shoes head boy, fuck this. I'm out. Then it went to Filch's office. Amazing.
The map's like, y'all have devolved, I'm out.
I love that it ended up in Filch's office in like this confiscated, highly dangerous folder. Like, it was sitting there like this tempting prize, this jewel. Come and get me, boys.
And it's so funny how Fred and George, little firsties, Fred and George, were brought into Filch's office because they're rule-breaking.
Mm-hmm.
One of them distracts Filch, and the other one grabs anything that they can from this box labelled highly dangerous and all this sort of stuff. Grabs the first thing that he can, and it's just like a blank piece of paper. And they don't just think, oh, like, that was a waste of time. They, like, are like, no, this is it. This is the best thing we could have gotten from this box. It's probably, like, a golden spider in there or something. Or, like, an egg that talks to you in a foreign language. And they just, like, grab this paper and, like, yeah, well, we got this. We can break this. We can crack this code. And they do!
Yeah. Listen, George, I'm fucking telling you, there is something special about this grimy paper. I know, the secrets to all of our future success are concealed on this piece of big paper.
It's good.
And he was right.
Fantastic.
The amount of shit that has to line up to connect these dots, crazy.
It's almost as if the map wanted to be found.
It definitely did. The ring found a new master. Literally. It just did. Like, the map's got to be a bit sentient. So that annoys me because I don't like sentience in inanimate objects.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. End of sentence. But also, it annoys me because fucking Fred and George, listen to your father. Never trust anything that can think for itself unless you can see where it keeps its brain. They were just not paying attention at Arthur Weasley's knee as he taught this important life lesson.
No, they're too busy stealing his wallet. Like, you really think they're listening to their father?
Of course not. In chaos twins. Yeah, there's also, you briefly mentioned it before, the fact that, like, the map gives clues towards figuring out how to open up secret passages to, like, let Harry get through the Humpback, mm-hmm. which, that's another clue towards, like, the map is sentient. Like, it knows what you're up to.
And it wants you.
It knows what you're trying to do, yeah. and it's trying to help you to achieve your ends.
It wants you to do mischievous things.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it probably also helps you find people, like, because the idea that you can pick out a single minuscule dot out of thousands of minuscule dots on this crazy, cramped, impossible map. Like, it would take you forever.
Yeah.
But they always sort of find whoever they're looking for, like, within a minute or so of scanning the paper. I think the map definitely, like, highlights them somehow.
Yeah, it's like, zoom, enhance. I love it. So I kind of touched on this before, how the map is stronger than a Deathly Hallow. So,
yes,
let's talk about it, because it isn't really, I was just joking. So, the Hallows,
yeah.
I have speculated before that they were created by Death, and I still really like that theory, that Death is just sentient mm-hmm. in this world and has made these things. But there's still a very strong theory for the yeah. fact that the Peverell brothers could have just been very learned wizards who made these magical objects.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the invisibility cloak as a Hallow cannot be ripped, it cannot be pulled off someone by magic or by force without that person wanting to be shown. It does not age, like, it doesn't fade away or crumble. But we do know that you can mm-hmm. be detected underneath the cloak through other means. So, like, when Harry, Ron, Hermione in the seventh book, like, apparate into Hogsmeade underneath the cloak, they set off this, like, caterwauling charm or whatever it is, which, like,
yeah.
is a charm that essentially goes, oh, 3 feet have landed here. Not 3 feet. 6 feet. I have to do some quick math. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. 6 feet have yeah. landed here.
They were all standing on one leg.
Yeah. They all hopped into place. The charm essentially detects that 3 people have landed here, but, like, they try and accio the cloak off the top of them, and it's not possible. The cloak doesn't even budge.
Mm-hmm.
Moody's eye can see through the cloak as well. Nuts. mm-hmm. The map can also show people under the cloak. Like, it doesn't differentiate like that. So yeah. it's just one of those things.
It can show... Like,
yeah.
It can show people under the cloak, people who are Polyjuice. It can also show ghosts, and it shows Peeves as well.
And people in Animagus form as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Map never lies. There's no hiding from the map. It knows you and your essence. No matter how you try and hide
it. The map never lies. What a fucking ominous thing to say.
I love it. It's so cryptic. It's like part of the ship, part of the crew. I say it all the time.
Okay, were you leading towards a point, or were you just saying
that? I was just
that?
Clarifying that, because I didn't want anyone to think that the map was actually stronger than a Hallow.
Oh, okay, just, cool, yeah. right. Just explaining yeah. then. Okay, cool, I thought you were leading to some sort of point about the map and the cloak. Okay, cool.
No, that's all I gotta say.
Isn't there a moment, and I am not remembering this scene very well, but it's in the fourth book, Harry goes to the prefect's bath to mess with the egg and think about Cedric, and then he comes out of the bath, he gets trapped in the trick stair, and he ends up there with Filch, Snape, Mad-Eye Moody, and I think that's it. And he's, like, trapped there, and they're getting closer, and he's freaking out. Is there a time where Snape tries to summon the cloak? Does he try to summon the map as well?
What Snape does is he does an invisible man search. So he's like, Potter's here with his cloak. And he, like, drops his wand and, like, holds his hand out and walks around like he's trying to feel for an invisible man. And he gets kind of close to actually touching Harry trapped in the steps. And Moody's like, Severus Snape, you absolute fucking fool. If Potter were here, I'd be able to see him because of my magic eye. You look like an idiot. Stop. That's what happens.
Fuck yeah, I love these books.
Snape, I think he also sniffs because Harry's worried that Snape will smell the perfumed bath salts that he was just using. It's an absolutely yeah. wild scene.
Harry Potter, best series ever written. I love these books so much. Snape, you're a magic man. Cast a spell, you fuck it.
Incredible. incredible.
There is a spell that, like, reveals when people are in a space. Hermione uses it.
Yeah. He could have, like... So many things he could have done.
So many. Another episode that we absolutely have to do is, like... Why wizards are so bad at solving their problems with magic.
Oh, God.
It's absolute lunacy. Okay, while we're on the topic of, like, bonkers scenes that just happened... I really want to talk about Snape catching Harry with the map and trying to, like, figure out its secrets, and then he gets insulted by the map, and then summoning Lupin into the room.
So good.
So good. Such a funny scene. So, I love that Snape gets, like, all these insults read out, like, appearing on the map, talking to him. But, like, surely, it's written in such a way, like, Prong says this, Padfoot agrees, the slime ball, like, that sort of shit. Snape absolutely knows those names. Like, he would have heard them using those nicknames. So when he, like... goes to his fireplace and summons Lupin. He's like, he knows 100% that Lupin did something to this parchment.
Wait, does he go to his fireplace and summon Lupin? I forgot that that's what happened. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he flu calls him from somewhere else in the castle, and Lupin's like, oh, I was grading papers, and then he just steps through the fireplace.
Okay, maybe it's like he knows that Lupin did it and he's like trying to rub it in to be like, look what I found, it's something that you did, and I'm going to show Dumbledore to show that you're an irresponsible teacher because he's a dumbass and he doesn't think ahead.
Like... But Lupin just plays along. He's like, oh, it's a prank item, it insults anyone who tries to read it, but I better take it with me anyway to inspect it, because after all, I am the Defense Against the Dark Arts professor. And Snape, like, is just seething, but he can't admit that he knows Lupin is lying, because then Harry would know that he knew.
Like, they're so both... dumb.
Like, this... fucking mind game that Lupin and Snape are playing with each other in front of Harry, clueless as ever. It's so, so funny to me once you know their backstories.
Incredible.
Rubbing their childhood grievances in each other's faces and trying to get one up over each other. They're adults. Grown men. Amazing. I just wanted to highlight that scene because I think it's great.
Yeah, I think it's great too. There's so many great map scenes. The stair scene, the Invisible Man search, the Snape getting insulted by the maps, the Ronald Waslib scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's all good.
Ronald Waslib. Incredible. Big fan of Harry spending an entire year watching Draco Malfoy in the map obsessively. That's good for my shipper heart.
He also does the same to Ginny. Also creepy.
Yeah. Surveillance state.
Yeah. Is there any other thing we have to say about the map?
I have a couple of just sort of generic facts that I couldn't really fit under like a heading in my research, but I wanted to highlight.
Yeah, sure.
We talked about the moment when like Lupin sees Harry and Hermione on the map, then Snape sees Lupin on the map. I just think it's also hysterically funny that neither of them noticed the extra Harry and Hermione that were hiding in the forest watching all this go down, because at that time they doubled themselves with time travel.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. Would they have showed up?
Surely, yes. Why wouldn't they?
Here's a theory. Maybe when the time travel bullshit happens, off the map, we see, Sirius Black, Remus Lupin, Severus Snape, Ronald Weasley, Peter Pettigrew, and then just Harry and Hermione, and then on the map, we see Potter and Granger. It splits them in half, because their two essences are, like, still present.
Ooh, that's interesting. I don't know why it would do that, but, like, I like it.
That's just how I make sense of it. But,
yeah.
Because it's not like they're different people or the same people, they're just in two different places.
Yeah, but the map doesn't differentiate between people. It just tells you the name of who's standing there.
Yeah.
I got to assume, like, they were just hard to spot amongst the trees. These tiny dots amongst, like, a bunch of trees in the Forbidden Forest. It just would have been hard to read their names.
Or maybe by that time they were already off map. They were already, like, hiding near the Shrieking Shack. Because the Shrieking Shack doesn't show up on the map.
But Harry and Hermione, like, their second time travel versions of themselves don't go to the Shrieking Shack. They stay near the Whomping Willow and wait for everyone to come out.
Oh, right, okay.
They might have been...
at Hagrid's hut, maybe?
Yeah, they save Buckbeak from Hagrid's hut, and then they race back to the Whomping Willow. They definitely get there in time to see Snape go under the tree.
So, yeah.
But do they see themselves?
So maybe by the time Snape was up in Lupin's office seeing the map, they were at Hagrid's hut, and he wasn't looking for them. He was looking for Remus Lupin, who's heading towards the Whomping Willow, so he just didn't notice Harry Potter and Hermione Granger at Hagrid's hut. And even if he did, he probably wouldn't think too much of it, because... Potter and Weasley and Granger always visiting Hagrid or whatever.
Yeah. I don't think it's notable for Snape not to have noticed. I think it's a bit more notable for Lupin not to have noticed, because he was the one who was, like, seeing Peter Pettigrew and, like, tracking their movements on the map and stuff.
But I guess if you've just seen the name of someone that you thought to be dead for, like, 12 years.
He's just had this massive epiphany and realised that Sirius is actually innocent and, you know, everything he thought for the last 12 years is wrong.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense to me.
But also, like, I don't think this is a plot hole that needs to be solved. Like, you could just so easily not notice. It's such a tiny detail.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that I thought was cool to point out. The other thing is... the order of the names on the map, Mercer's Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs, they're listed in the reverse order of how they die.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah. Sad. Weird. And my third and final fact is something that was written on the HP Wiki page that I thought was just so interestingly phrased. The Marauder's map, along with his wand and the Cloak of Invisibility, is Harry's only remaining treasure from his time at Hogwarts.
Yeah, I thought that was odd too.
Like, he's a fucking pirate collecting treasure. What is this? His only remaining treasure. What are you talking about?
I don't think of, like, my schooling days as, like, keeping things from the school to take it with the rest of my life. It's odd. Like, memories is what you have after you graduate.
Yeah.
And a degree, hopefully.
And, like, the knowledge and learning that you got from your time there. The friends you made.
Odd.
Yeah, odd.
Well, I didn't really have any other points. Like, I sort of just wanted to learn more about how the map works, which we still weren't able to really define beyond... I guess we just have to assume that one of the Marauders just has a knack for cartography. And they were able to pull it off with the mix of, like, this human tracking charm and literally just mapping out the grounds as they understood it.
It's just not a good explanation.
Which is nuts, but I guess that's what we have to accept. I think that, like, what we can learn about this map is that it was a mistake. Like, if I were an author, I wouldn't include something like this in a book because it just creates so much... It makes things too easy, and I think JK has actually mentioned that too. It made things too easy for Harry, so she almost wanted to confiscate it completely from his grasp, but she just kept it around anyway. And there's more plot holes ensued.
Yeah, there's a moment where, like, Barty Crouch takes it off Harry in fourth book, and he doesn't actually get it back in that book.
Mm.
And she was like, oh, I should have just written it out of the series. But she didn't. Like, you could have said, oh, Barty Crouch destroyed it or whatever.
Barty Crouch was right. That map could have ruined everything. Like, when he saw it and he's like, like, that must have been, like, the biggest, oh, fuck, moment of just, like, holy crap, I was so close to being caught.
So, in conclusion, this map is so overpowered, shouldn't exist at all because it's impossible. Is ridiculous... no matter what sort of circumstances it's in, it's just crazy. And I want one more than anything else.
Well done, Peter Pettigrew, on creating such a masterpiece of cartography.
Truly your greatest accomplishment in life. Fuck, man, if I could have a map of my building and know when my neighbours are going to be in the corridors, amazing. I would use that 24/7.
Incredible. All right, well, I've been Jem, and live fast, die young, bad girls do it well.
I've been no first name given, Rhea, no last name given.
Thanks for listening. If you want to support us or get in touch, the links to our social media and Patreon are in the show notes. Please feel free to send us so many messages that we go mad and run away to a hut on a rock in the middle of the sea just to avoid them. You'll hear from us again in 2 weeks' time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.